Today, on The Exam Room.
Once I knew all of my issues and I started figuring out how I could make the best food for myself, I was kind of on this like journey to find one other person who could relate to what I was going through. So I was like, oh, if I post what I made for dinner on Instagram, like maybe someone else who has the same allergies will see it and then I'll be able to like not be alone. So I just started posting all my recipes that were like in my head, like a win. It was like I adjusted this recipe. It was like a random recipe I saw online, but I adjusted it to be like gluten-free and dairy-free. And I changed what I had to change. And now I came up with this great idea. So if there's anybody else out there who can benefit, like here's the information. And I mean, I had no idea, like all these people later that like, I'm definitely not the only one going through this. But in that moment, I just wanted like one more person who felt the way I felt so I didn't have to feel like by myself.
Welcome to the Exam Room Podcast, brought to you by the Physicians Committee. Hi, I'm the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll, raising health IQs coast to coast and around the world. Hi to all the exam roomies listening in Billings, Montana, Coral Springs, Florida, and Lucknow, India. Wherever you are, we appreciate you helping to make the world a healthier place. This is episode 28 of season 7, number 527 overall. Cooking for someone with a severe food allergy can seem puzzlingly impossible at first. Think about it. You go from having a full menu to suddenly having no peanuts, no tree nuts, no milk or eggs, no gluten, and on and on and on. And those are just a few of the common ones. You know, a lot of people out of the gate will say, yeah, that's just no way to live. And yet, for millions of people, it is a daily reality. And thousands will wind up in the emergency room after accidentally eating something that can cause a life-threatening reaction. Well, my guest today is one such person. She is someone who is severely allergic to nuts and also has celiac disease as well as lactose intolerance. But she also happens to be a foodie. She loves to eat. And she has discovered a way to take her favorite recipes and make safe, delicious versions of them. We're talking everything from pizza to macaroni and cheese to desserts. And oh my goodness, does she ever have a sweet tooth to tell us about. And for Kayla Capiello, her struggle to find the perfect gluten-free bagel was real. You see, she is a New Yorker, and this was of the utmost importance. So Kayla is with us on the show today. She is the author of Easy Allergy-Free Cooking, Simple and Safe Everyday Recipes for Everyone. This is a tremendous cookbook. And we're getting into some of her favorites from the book today, as well as her own struggle with food sensitivities. See, she went from working in corporate America, doing the 9-to-5 things, to now being a world-renowned cook who specializes in recipes that are, get this, gluten-free and can easily be transformed into dairy-free, nut-free, low-fat, vegan masterpieces. And we're getting into her journey today, how she was able to balance the pressure of wanting to fit in and eat everything that her friends were eating. Didn't want to be the odd one out, but balancing that with the needs of her own health, and how she discovered just how sensitive she actually was to certain ingredients, plus how she's now thriving in an allergy-free environment and helping others find their inner strength to keep going and get going in the kitchen with gusto. This is an incredible story, one that starts right now with Kayla Capiello on The Exam Room. Kayla, thanks for making the time.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I'm thrilled that you're here, and I'm super excited about this book because we're talking about 20 million people in the United States right now who are suffering from at least one food allergy, including as many as one out of every 13 kids. And would it come to be a surprise to you to know that food allergies are the cause of 30,000 emergency room visits every single year?
I wouldn't even be surprised by that, but that number is like pretty high up there. I mean, I know I've been to the emergency room before. I have an EpiPen. I've been to urgent care before. But to think that amount of people have to go to the emergency room is insane.
And you just hit the nail on the head. You said that you have been there because of a food allergy yourself, which makes you the perfect person to put this book together. And your blog is fantastic as well, all about allergy-free recipes. Before we get into those, let's talk about your story. When did you first discover that some foods were a real problem for you?
So the first one was about in high school. I'm allergic to pistachios. So I ate some pistachios. Obviously, I was out with my friends. I had no idea. My entire face blew up. My lips got big. I got swollen. That was like my first experience. After that, I immediately went to the allergist. I got tested and I am allergic to some tree nuts. So specifically pistachios, almonds, and hazelnuts. So that was my first experience. And then it wasn't until later, it was right after college when I started working in like corporate America, I started noticing that after lunch every day, I just felt completely ill. I was tired. I was foggy. I didn't feel well. And I could not pinpoint what it was. After a few years of feeling that way and trying to go to urgent care or my primary doctor or my allergist and still not being able to pinpoint what it was, I did go to a doctor for like my gut health to figure out like, can we do any tests? Can we figure out, is there a problem? I ended up having food poisoning in that like immediate moment, which she was able to diagnose, but ran every test imaginable and did diagnose me with celiac disease. I have the celiac gene. I inherited it from my dad, who's also celiac. And in that same round of tests, I found out I was lactose intolerant.
All right. So you just hit yourself the trifecta. We've got celiac, we've got lactose intolerance, plus the nut allergies.
Yep.
No surprise then that lunch was giving you all sorts of fits. I believe I read in your book that one of the things that you really liked the most was paninis at lunch, which I'm sure had a ton of cheese on there. And maybe that then would have been a big part of your crash in the afternoon.
Yeah, for sure. It's like this thick bread that's like delicious and so much cheese and then whatever other topping I used to get, but I enjoyed them so much in the moment. I love bread and I love cheese and I love everything that goes with it. But fast forward an hour and it was like I could almost put my head down on my desk. I was so tired. I mean, there were times that I left the office being like, I cannot go on this afternoon. Like, I have to lay down. What is going on with me? So in the moment, it was great. But in the aftermath, every single day, you know, you transfer to making a salad now for lunch, but I still had cheese and croutons. So it's like you just can't figure out what the problem is.
And doesn't it just seem unfair that the things that taste so good are often the things that are the absolute worst for us?
For sure.
Yeah.
It's like you want to be able to enjoy the stuff that everybody else is making and the stuff everyone else is eating. And when all of your coworkers are going out to grab sandwiches, you don't want to be that person that's like, wait, I can't do it. Or wait, I can't have that cheese or I can't have that pizza. It's incredibly frustrating. And the more you travel down that path, it's kind of isolating because you have to figure out your own thing or go to your own restaurant or pick up your own food or bring your own lunch. And it's like you just want to be able to do it with the group.
Yeah. And let's talk about that, right? So you're young, you're fresh out of college. You had just joined corporate America. You're trying to fit in. I remember for me personally at that point in my life, like it kind of was like being back that first day of school and finding out who your group of friends are and wanting to fit in and do your best there. But now you've just found that you can't do dairy, nuts are a no-no, and gluten is a no-no. And so, as you said, while the whole group is going out to eat, you're feeling really kind of isolated there. How did you kind of reconcile with those emotions? That couldn't have been easy for you.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't easy. And it was the similar situation going on in my personal life, too, because I would leave work. I had just moved out of my parents' house for like the first time after college. And I was living with my friends. And again, like on the weekends, I want to go out with them and we want to go to a bar, go get food or get pizza like after we're drinking. And it's like, you can't do any of those things. So I think the first thing that helped is like obviously being able to diagnose like what exactly was making me feel sick. And then the second thing that helped was like trying to make home a safe space. So I got rid of everything I couldn't eat, like all of the gluten, all of the dairy. And then I tried to slowly introduce those products back in a safe way that I could consume them. So like introduce the gluten-free products, introduce the vegan cheeses. And then the next step from that was like researching places either around the office or around my apartment that I could safely go and like eat their food. And they provided options that were safe for me. And once I had that down, it started to get a little bit better. It was like, oh, I know we all love the sandwiches from this place, but can we actually go here because I can get like X, Y, or Z and still feel safe. And everybody was very accommodating once they knew like what to accommodate. So it definitely worked out.
All right. Let's set the stage a little bit further for what it's like for a person who does have food allergies before we move on to substitutes and ideas for people who are in that group. For those who aren't among the 20 million who suffer with you, what exactly does it feel like? I mean, you mentioned drinking, so I'm wondering, like, is it comparable to just feeling rotten after a hangover or with a hangover, I should say? How would you describe it to somebody who has not gone through this themselves?
So I think for me personally, like the gluten and the dairy feel very similar if I consume them. It's like bloating, a stomach ache, and I just cannot focus. It's like, think about when you're very, very sick, like if you have a fever and it's like you're watching something on TV, but you actually aren't like focusing on what's going on. It's kind of like everything around you is background noise. It's your brain is very foggy. And the only thing that makes my body like recover is to go to bed. So if I don't let my body recover from what just happened and, you know, obviously it let the stomach ache pass, I can't go on with my day. But the tree nut allergy is very different. It's like very physical. So you break out in like swelling and swollen lips and hives and you're itchy. And then you start panicking, like, am I going to have trouble breathing? So even though they're all like dietary restrictions, the aftermath is very different for the nuts versus the dairy and the gluten.
That's a lot. Did you wonder?
It causes anxiety.
I bet it does. I mean,
you don't know which time is going to be the time that it's worse than all the other times.
Right. I mean, like, I would imagine that's kind of like walking around with a dark cloud hanging over your head, or, you know, to borrow a cartoon analogy, the piano that's hanging by a string. And when is it going to be cut? You know, it's like, when's it going to drop? I don't know. But that is a lot to deal with. I mean, especially, again, it like a young age. I mean, did you have days where you were wondering, like, why me? Why am I being punished with this?
Yeah, for sure. You always wonder that. I mean, I'm years into this and I'm still like, why me? My fiance sent me, I guess Starbucks came out with a new drink recently and it's a macadamia nut. And he sent it to me being like, oh, this is so exciting. Let's try it. And my response was literally like, I wonder what it feels like to not have any dietary restriction or like not to have any nut restriction. Like you can just eat whatever you want. I think even once you're years into this way of life, you still turn around sometimes and you're like, I just don't want to like have this problem.
Forgive him, for he knows not what he does. You know, us guys, we are notorious for texting before thinking. So, man, I'm telling you though. I mean, good on you for being able to put your foot down. Do you think that at a younger age you would have like just given in because you didn't want to feel like such an outcast and you would have been like, I'll deal with the ramifications if and when they come?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, even doing this as an adult, sometimes my mindset is like that. It's like, oh, like I have to go through this whole process just to like not feel sick, but maybe like the feeling sick is worth it if I feel like I fit in. I think I was a bit lucky to find, I mean, obviously, like I was feeling sick all my life and then found this out when I was a young adult. But as a young adult, you do have a bit more confidence than like if you're in middle school or if you're in high school and fitting in is like the only thing that matters in your life. I think like I would have had a really, I mean, I feel for people who are being diagnosed so early. I'm sure you feel better now that you're not eating the things you're not supposed to eat, but just for the fitting in purposes, it's not great. I would not wish it upon anybody.
And so I think kind of with that in mind, you may have applied that philosophy and wanting to help yourself, but then also help others, because you start blogging about this and you start posting your recipes. Was that kind of cathartic for you? Was that your way of kind of coping with what it was you were going through? Or do you just have this genuine desire to try to help others?
I think for me, it was like, once I knew all of my issues and I started, you know, after I had accepted it, and I started figuring out how I could make the best food for myself, I was kind of on this like journey to find one other person who could relate to what I was going through. So I was like, oh, if I post what I made for dinner on Instagram, like maybe someone else who has the same allergies will see it, and then I'll be able to like not be alone. So the entire quest was like, I didn't want to feel lonely and I didn't want to feel like I was the only person going through this. So I just started posting all my recipes that were like, in my head, like a win. It was like, I adjusted this recipe. It was like a random recipe I saw online, but I adjusted it to be like gluten-free and dairy-free. And I changed what I had to change. And now I came up with this great idea. So if there's anybody else out there who can benefit, like, here's the information. And I mean, I had no idea, like, all these people later, that like, I'm definitely not the only one going through this. But in that moment, I just wanted like one more person who felt the way I felt, so I didn't have to feel like by myself.
Absolutely. I mean, look, lo and behold, you've got an army of 20 million people in the US alone who are marching with you with this. And I'm curious though, when you start fiddling with these recipes and you start making these allergy-free substitutions, how difficult of a process was this in being able to replicate the flavors that you were used to and had been enjoying, but then also won't completely destroy your gut or cause your face to swell up like a balloon?
Yeah. So some things are never going to be like direct replications. I think for me, a great example is like bagels. Like, I loved a good New York bagel. It's like doughy and chewy and crunchy on the outside. And that was just like my absolute favorite. But buying a gluten-free bagel from the grocery store is definitely not the same. It's filling the hole that I had from cutting out bagels, but it's absolutely not going to be the 100% substitute that I was used to. But then like, as I continued on my journey, it was like, oh, like, let's find a bagel recipe that's kind of like a New York style bagel and try that exact recipe with some gluten-free flour and see how close we can come. So I think in the beginning, it was more about like filling that void. It's the same with pizza. Like, I would buy the gluten-free pizza from the pizza place, or I would buy the gluten-free pizza from the grocery store. But it wasn't until I realized I could buy the dough and put my own toppings on it that you try to like transfer from filling the void to actually making a quality dish that replicates that feeling that you used to get. So those two things were like very different processes for me. But as I like started going through, it was like, once you figure out like the bagel, then you can kind of figure out like the pizza crust, and you figure out your one-to-one gluten-free flour substitute. Because until you find those things, it's like you slowly chip away at the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And look, I feel you with the bagel. I obviously am not in the same allergy boat as you are, but back in the day, the old me, boy, there was nothing like that bagel off the street with a big old smear of cream cheese on
for
it.
Sure.
Oh my gosh, that was just heaven. I paid a different kind of price for it, but man, I got you. I wonder, have you tried to like crowdsource that and tweeted it out or put it up on IG asking for what's a good gluten-free bagel and just seeing
Was out there? I did like a ton of research on this because I am in New York City twice a week. So I was like, there has to be like some place that has gluten-free bagels that they make their own, that they're not just like buying like the brand from the grocery store that I buy at home. And there actually is. It's called Modern Bread and Bagel, and it's an entire gluten-free bagel shop. And my favorite is I get a gluten-free everything bagel with tofu cream cheese, and I order it to my office twice a week. And it's just like exactly the same. I mean, they must really make their bagels the exact New York style to get them like that. And they're incredible.
you see, like, that's the thing that I have found eating a whole food plant-based diet is, Kayla, I'm telling you, there is like almost no flavor that can't be replicated very, very close to the original. It's like you said, you may never get it 100%, but daggone, you know, if you can get it up like 90-95%, that's pretty daggone good,
right?
For
sure.
Yeah. So you start to make this adjustment. How long would you say it took you to kind of figure things out and hit your stride so that you are kind of back to the way that you were eating, just in an allergy-free way?
So I think after a year, I felt more comfortable. I'm not going to say that I was like a pro after a year, but I felt more comfortable going to the grocery store and looking for specific brands that at that point I knew I liked. I think it took another year after that, though, to really perfect like the food I was making. So yes, I was still cooking in all that time, but I want to say maybe like one out of every three dinners was like really good. But after 2 years of being diagnosed and finding the products I like and the brands I like and the substitutes I like, those 2 years like really made a difference where now I can confidently say like, okay, I know I can make this and there's not going to be any problem. Like there's not going to be this huge failure once I'm done.
And was it in that 2 year time frame that you started blogging about this and sharing your recipes publicly?
Yeah, it was definitely after those 2 years. I want to say it was probably around the 2 or 3 year mark where I was like, okay, I feel confident enough that what I'm making is actually things like people would want to consume. So like, let me see if I put it out there, like who can relate. I think in the beginning, it was so hard for me to wrap my head around just like every single meal, thinking through like, can I eat this? Can I not? Is this going to give me a stomach ache? Like, do I have to take a lactate? Like all these processes that I couldn't even see the final product. But once I got that confidence after the 2 or 3 years, then I was like, okay, like social media like might be an interesting place just to share. And I never shared it with the intent of like being a blogger. It was like, maybe I can just find someone who I can talk to. So I think once people started following me and asking questions like, what dough did you use? What gluten-free flour did you use? What cheese substitute did you use? Then like a year or two after that, I was like, oh, I need like a website because the caption of Instagram is so small and I have so much to say. So it was definitely Instagram first, then the website, and then obviously like the cookbook.
Yeah, and the website, KaylaCapiello.com. We've got the link for it down below in the episode notes and in the show description. I'm curious, Kayla, what are some of the more common allergies that you hear from your followers? Is it the same three that you share, or is it just a wide swath of everything?
So it's definitely like a wide range of a lot of things. I think those are my three allergies, but like on my Instagram, I also serve up options for like vegan, vegetarian, no meat, low carb, and low fat. I think even though they're not like allergies, they're also restrictions people have as well. And those are very common. So people are always asking, in addition to the gluten-free questions, like what kind of cheese, what kind of rice, how did you make this low fat or low carb? Because I guess, like, obviously I'm very focused on like the allergies, but I mean, I do have high cholesterol and like eating low fat has to be like as important as like the rest of my life. So that's kind of how I got into that as well. And I think pretty across the board, evenly, people are asking dietary restrictions, allergies, and then more of like a low fat, low carb preference.
Right on. Man, if you want to talk about low cholesterol, I can put you in touch with some experts that can suck that right on down in a hurry for you. No problem.
Yes.
I'm telling you, look, the doctors who come on the show primarily are what they call lifestyle medicine physicians. So they really put that focus on nutrition, and it is amazing the way that they're able to drill down with the science and explain it and why your body responds to certain foods the way that it does, whether it's hypertension, diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, whatever the case of food allergies. It's just like they got a way of zeroing in on everything and telling you exactly the foods that cause it and exactly the foods that can help reverse it in a
lot of cases. It is mind-blowing science, and that's what I love about this. And girl, let me tell you, I used to skip science class in school all the time. But if they taught it like these doctors do here on the show, I'm telling you, I would have been a straight-A student, hand to God. So the majority of the audience here on the exam room is definitely eating a whole food plant-based diet. You just mentioned that vegan was one of the things that your Instagram or your followers talked to you a lot about. How difficult was it for you when you started to put things together that were 100% on the plant-based side of things? Was that kind of next level on top of the gluten and lactose intolerant recipes as well?
So I think that was actually like one of the easier swaps that I've made. I'm just like not a meat lover. Like, I think that came a lot from when I grew up. My mom actually had food poisoning from eating a hamburger at like a pretty fancy restaurant, and she never ate meat again. So I grew up in a situation where meat was definitely not the star of the dinner every night. And then when I went to college, it was like coming from that, I didn't want to look at raw meat and I didn't want to make meat for myself. So when I cooked for myself in college, it was just a lot of plant-based or veggie-based or vegetarian option. Like meat was just never really this like thing for me. When I met my fiance, he is in the mindset of like, I have to have meat with my food to make it like a round meal. But I am sometimes like, let me make the food and you can have the protein. And my version's just going to be vegan. And I'm okay with that. Like there's nothing, you don't have to be vegan to enjoy a vegan meal. And I love that. So I think when people started asking about it on Instagram, like, hey, I made this, but I am vegan. Like how, or I'd like to make it, how am I going to transfer from this meat-based option to a non-meat-based option? It was like, oh, I'd already done it for myself. So it was easy to share with someone else.
And you know, that kind of talking about your fiance not being vegan and very much coming from the meat world, is that also part of why you included such a wide variety of type of diets within your cookbook so that it appeals to as wide of an audience as possible while still addressing at its core the allergy issue for as many people as possible?
Yeah. So I think in the beginning, I was like, oh, I just have all these recipes that I absolutely love that I want to share. And I just came up with this base recipe and I came up with all of them. And then I went back and I was like, well, they're all naturally like gluten-free, like the dairy-free or the nut-free. But then what else am I doing in my life that I can include in all these? So like I am trying to eat low carb sometimes, or I am trying to eat vegan sometimes, or I am trying to eat like low fat sometimes, but not for every single meal. But I was like, oh, if I was that person that was eating this way 100% of the time, why wouldn't I give an option 100% of these recipes for the person who experiences this like in their life? And I think it was important, like obviously the meals I cook with him that we do enjoy that are surrounding like a meat-based product or a non-vegan product. It was like, I don't want to not include it because I really do enjoy this meal, but I just want to give an option for someone who wants to enjoy it maybe differently.
Is there a plant-based meal, though, that he does enjoy and he doesn't mind eating and he's not like, huh, I need meat to go with this? Like, is there something that he's like, man, Kayla, this is legit?
Yeah, there is. I think I've like slowly gotten him on that track. His brother is also vegan. So sometimes he'll just call with like these great recipe ideas and be like, we made this, like you guys got to try this. Here's the recipe. Just like see what you think. And I think he's like adjusted now to be like, oh, not everything needs to be like this strict meat-based diet the way I grew up with. But getting someone out of their comfort zone is like very difficult.
Girl, you're telling me. You're telling me. Like, it took a near-death experience to get me out of my comfort zone, man. And
yeah, it's like no one voluntarily wants to change what they're doing. Like, yes, everybody wants to be healthier. But until there's some sort of an event, like for me, it was finding out about my allergies. Like, if someone has a near-death experience, if someone has an allergic reaction, it's like then it forces you and there's no turning back. But there are people out there like him who, like, he's never had an event like that. He's not allergic to anything. So like nothing's going to force him to like go vegan. But like, I just appreciate the moments where he's like, okay, like this is vegan and I do enjoy it. And I'm like, that was such a win.
All right. Real quick, before I talk to you about some specific recipes from the book and from your blog, I got to ask you, what are some of your favorite plant-based cheese substitutes? What do you love more than anything. I know a lot of exam roomies are super high on nutritional yeast. What are your go-to cheesy things?
Oh, I love nutritional yeast. I honestly, anything that I want kind of a cheesy taste in, I definitely like put it in everything. Another thing for me is like that tofu cream cheese is just life-changing. I think if you get the consistency right, for me, it tastes exactly like regular cream cheese, especially if I'm putting chives in it or like chopped vegetables for veggie cream cheese. I don't know that. I think tofu cream cheese is definitely where it's at.
That's pretty good. Yeah. What about if you were making a pizza? Now, the ultra healthy exam roomies, and I count myself among them, they, instead of using, you know, like store-bought plant-based cheese, they will indeed just sprinkle nutritional yeast on top of that with roasted vegetables, right? So you're not going to get that like melty cheese kind of a thing, but you're still going to get that cheese flavor. But when you're doing a pizza, what's going on top cheese-wise?
So I definitely have done the nutritional yeast and the veggies, and I do enjoy it. But I think I also do enjoy like some shredded, like even if it's vegan mozzarella or if it's vegan cheddar. I have one in my cookbook. It's a beet pizza. So it has sliced beets on top, it has mozzarella, it has arugula. I enjoy a really light pizza like that. I don't necessarily enjoy something that's like heavy and has like a lot of things going on. I want the fresher ingredients, the better.
I can tell that you're from New York. You say mozzarella as opposed to mozzarella, like the rest of the U.S., right?
I do have quite the New York accent, I've been told.
But you do. Capiello, is that also Italian?
Yeah, for sure.
There it is. It all makes sense now. It all makes sense now.
An Italian New Yorker.
Who knew? What are some of your favorites from the book? I mean, it is just filled with hundreds of pages of recipes. I mean, it's like really a comprehensive cookbook that you put together. What are the go-tos?
Definitely all of the baking section. I have like a healthy dessert section. I make those on a weekly basis. I'm always rotating through those recipes, trying to figure out like, what are we going to have for dessert's huge in my house. I make dessert and have dessert every night and I'm cool as long as it's healthy. So I think I just rotate through that section basically monthly. Also, there's a big section, obviously like pizza, but it's like kind of a fake out takeout section. So all my favorite takeout options that I can't enjoy now in the takeout version, I can make at home. So like, yes, it's orange chicken or General Tso's chicken, but then I also have options in there. I make it with like fried cauliflower. So I batter the cauliflower, I either pan fry it or air fry it and use like, you know, some sort of like Asian sauce on top that I can make at home because I know then that it has gluten-free soy sauce in it and it's not made with, you know, soy sauce that has wheat in it. So all of those things that I used to love to order in, I now just make at home. And instead of chicken, I just use the cauliflower and it's my favorite.
I would imagine that's like satisfying to be able to take something like takeout that you've loved, the General Tso's, and to be able to replicate that yourself at home. Like, I would get a heck of a lot of satisfaction out of it. Hey, mom, look what I made, right?
Yeah, like, for that's sure. Cool. We also make, here's a vegan example that my fiance loves. We make lettuce wraps, and they have, I'm not allergic to cashews, thank God, but they have cashews, they have peppers and onions in it, and it has kind of like a peanut-based sauce on top, and you just wrap it in the lettuce wrap. And sometimes on a Friday night, if we don't want to order in, we just make some fake takeout and watch a movie. And it's like very satisfying knowing that I would have ordered this from a restaurant, but now I can just make it at home the safe way instead.
Far out. Are you allergic to walnuts?
Yes.
Oh, bummer.
It's such a weird thing. Like some people, like my sister's allergic to all tree nuts, but I'm just allergic to some. And I think almonds are very hard because a lot of gluten-free products are made with almond flour. So like that combo is like just personally very tough for me.
Right on.
You don't necessarily miss like walnuts or hazelnuts. It's just annoying. Yeah. But the almonds is like a problem.
Yeah. I was just going to ask if you had tried like walnut taco meat, which is another, I can't believe that this is a vegan kind of a dish, but it ain't worth it in your case. So don't even try
it. But I do make tater tot taco meat, which is actually one of our favorites as well.
Tater tots. Break it down.
You let them defrost. So they're softer. You put them in a frying pan with some olive oil, salt, pepper, and taco seasoning. And you basically just pan fry them and crunch them up until they're in like little taco meat sized pieces. And we just make tacos out of them.
Mother of pearl.
And where? Don't get me wrong, like this is not a low carb meal, but it's delicious.
I'm the kind of guy, and what the science here on this show shows is that like you can't lump all the carbs together, right? You can't take the carbs that are in refined sugar and put them in the same kind of carbs as you would find in a potato. It's like really potato potato, no pun intended here. It's like completely different daggone things. So like, yeah, man, eat all the whole carbs that you want. It's the carbs that you find in the donuts,
right,
and the candies.
And the things I shouldn't be eating anyway.
Right, right. So enjoy the carbs from the potatoes, for goodness sakes. I need to talk to you. Speaking of, we were talking about sweets a little bit ago. You told me right before we started recording that you had tried Nice Cream for the first time not too long ago. What was that experience like for you?
So definite first timer here. I'd never tried it before. And now I feel so dumb that it took me so long to try. I think what I tried before that for a while is I was making like these little vegan, like at home candy bars. So I was putting like a slice of banana. I'd put vegan chocolate chips on top, some peanut butter. And then if I had like berries or something, and I would freeze them. And then if I wanted to for dessert, I'd take out like a frozen like mini candy bar and I would eat it. And then I kept being like, this texture is so similar to ice cream. Like, what am I doing? So then I was like, oh, like, let me look this up. Someone has to have done this already. And then I found like all these recipes for it. And I was like, have I just been like with my head in the sand, like ignoring this whole thing? I guess I never really thought about it. But now that we've discussed it, there is I used to live in Hoboken. There's a food truck, Amanda's Bananas in Hoboken, and they do serve Nice Cream. But this was my first time making it by myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to the wonderful world. And I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you, like I always have two big bags of frozen bananas in my freezer and then a bunch always ripening on the counter so I can just keep them in rotation, like keep cycling them through. And man, I'm telling you, like it is just glorious. They are so versatile. As I was telling you before we started recording, sometimes I'll just do straight up mashed frozen bananas and make that Nice Cream and just as plain as plain can be. It is so good. It is so good. But my favorite is like super simple. It's just the bananas, it's a pinch of peanut butter and some cacao. And I'm telling you, it tastes like a frozen Reese's cup. It's amazing.
It's definitely like life-changing. I have no idea why I waited so long, but I did just buy like little containers that are perfect for the freezer so I can like make four at a time and make them into little pints and then I can just pull them out when I need them.
All right. Three recipes that are not in the book but are on your blog. Again, a link is in the show description. I promise I'll let you go after this. That I really love. Number one, I thought that this was just clever and creative, and I can't wait for it to be a little bit cooler again, and I'll bust this out when football season rolls around. Vegan buffalo mac and cheese. OMG, Kayla, home run, even though that's not a football analogy. My God, is that good.
It's really good. It's really cozy, and I like to put like a gluten-free breadcrumb topping on top with some olive oil. So you get like the crispy topping and the spicy inside. It's definitely like the perfect Sunday fun day meal in the fall.
Legit. And then we're speaking about bananas and Nice Cream. You have a 5-ingredient vegan banana bread. And I'm going to say that's good year round. I mean, seriously, 5 ingredients. Even if you're shy about baking and you think that you just can't do it, it's kind of hard to muck up 5 ingredients.
Yeah, it's so easy. Literally anybody can do it. They're all healthy ingredients. It's not like you're adding all these different things that you would not be able to pronounce. I think it's like my little superfood easy bread that I make when I want dessert, but I need it to be healthy.
All right. And the last one was just a game-changing showstopper. Pump the brakes. Don't do anything else until you make this. And that is the pecan stuffed dates. How in the holy heck did you come up with this gem?
So like we were talking about, I was trying to recreate like that candy bar taste without having the candy bar. And I was like, oh, I just need that sweetness. Like, how can I have this sweet dessert without it being like super unhealthy? And dates are super sweet. And adding like the little pecan in there or a candied pecan, and then adding the peanut butter was just like this rush of all this fun but healthy sugar. And I was like, oh, if I can't have a candy bar, I can definitely have this.
Mm-hmm. Giddy up, giddy up. What candy bar would you say that is most closely resembling taste-wise?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I really like, gosh, what I think it's a Snickers, right? That has, like, because I can't eat any of these anymore. So right. I'm like so like out of my candy bar loop. But I really like the Snickers, how it has like the caramel or like something smooth and then like the crunch of the peanut. So I was like, oh, if I have the date there with the peanut butter, that's some smoothness. And then I need like the crunch of a nut. So I added the pecan.
Yeah, I too was a Snickers guy back in the day. I loved it. And I had a friend of mine, Dr. Will Bolsiewicz, put out this amazing book called Fiber Fueled and then the Fiber Fueled Cookbook. He was like, Chuck, here's what you got to do. And try this and you let me know how it stacks up to the pecan stuff dates. He's like, get you a date, cut it down the middle, add two things and two things only, a smear of peanut butter and a couple of vegan chocolate chips.
Oh, yes. Like,
I was like, what? He's like, just do it. And I was like, cool. And he's like, and if you really want to take this a little bit over the top, add a couple of peanuts to it as well. Yeah, I was like, all right. So now we're talking about four things. Cool. I can do that. Can't mess this up. I'll be daggone if this thing didn't taste exactly like a Snickers bar. And I mean like 95% accuracy.
And like amazing. None of the unhealthy ingredients.
None of it. None of it. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Once it hits your lips, as Will Ferrell would say, just amazing, amazing stuff. And I love the creativity that's in your book, the way that you're able to bring all of these amazing dishes together in an easy, allergy-free way. You are a role model for 20 million strong out there, my friend. So it has been a real, real pleasure to be able to spend some time with you today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was incredible.
Online, you can find Kayla, kaylacapiello.com. That is where you can go to find all of her recipes. Not all are plant-based, but there are a tremendous amount that are, and they are absolutely delicious. And I think that you're going to like them. And even if you have someone who is in your life that does not have a food allergy, maybe you don't have a food allergy either, you're still going to like what she's cooking up. Also, pick up a copy of her book. There's a link for you in the episode notes. Easy Allergy-Free Cooking, Simple and Safe Recipes for Everyone. And using Kayla's methods, even the non-vegan recipes can become plant-based with some easy substitutions. So we're talking about all good things here. All good things. So let's talk a little bit more about food allergies and crunch some numbers. Got some facts for you. And these come from the nonprofit organization known as FAIR, which stands for Food Allergy Research and Education. And according to FAIR, 1 in 10 adults will have a food allergy, as will 1 in every 13 children. And more than half of adults and 40% of children who do have a food allergy will at some point experience a severe reaction. And on top of that, about 40% of the kids with food allergies have 2 or more that they're suffering from. That's a lot for a kid to deal with. So here are some of the most common food allergies. Shellfish tops the list, followed by milk, peanuts, tree nuts, eggs, fin fish, wheat, soy, and sesame. And it appears that food allergies also are becoming increasingly common. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, cases of food allergies among children increased by 50% between the years 1997 and 2011. And the boom appears to be especially profound for tree nuts, with pediatric cases more than tripling during roughly that same stretch. And get this, while children can often outgrow certain sensitivities, the allergies to peanuts, tree nuts, and fish tend to last an entire lifetime. You may be wondering, well, what about dairy? Well, a 2021 study published in the British Medical Journal finds that cow's milk is the most common cause of fatal anaphylaxis. That's better known as a deadly reaction. And this is among older children. So over a 20-year period between 1998 and 2018, 1 out of every 4 children
who died as a result of a food allergy were dying as a result of a reaction to cow's milk. That is according to the study published in the BMJ. So today's show with Kayla was really timely and topical, and it's good to shine a light on this. And I also want to tip my hat to Dustin Harder, our friend, and our team who has worked so hard on our Universal Meals program. These are fantastic recipes that are free of the top 9 food allergies that Dustin and the crew have curated here. All of these are 100% plant-based and amazing. And if you have a sweet tooth, by the way, diving into these Universal Meals, I highly recommend giving the no-bake brownie bites or the snickerdoodle cookies a whirl. I think your taste buds will thank you. Also, for those who want something a little more hearty, and maybe along the lines of the Chinese recipes we were talking about with Kayla, you gotta check out what Dustin came up for the better-than-takeout sweet and sour cauliflower. That, my friend, is a perfect 10 right there. Or if you really want something that'll stick to your ribs, you can try the one-pot mushroom stroganoff or roasted squash and cranberry brown rice risotto recipes. Those are so good. And there are links to the Universal Meals recipes in the episode notes, or you can just head over to universalmeals.org. So much good stuff to talk about here on the show today. So many delicious meals that you can try that are 100% allergy-free and delicious. And if you feel like you've raised your allergy IQ by a point or two, go ahead and give the show a 5-star rating and a nice review on Apple Podcast or wherever it is that you get your shows. And when you do that, in the review, let us know how a plant-based diet has helped to improve your health. Let us know what it is that you like about the Exam Room. We'd love to read the reviews here on the show, and yours could be next. So go ahead and do that if you would be so kind. And links to Spotify and Apple, they are in the episode notes for you as well. And as for today, that is going to wrap things up. I want to say thank you one more time to Kayla Capiello for being here and inspiring us with her easy, allergy-free cooking prowess. So good, so tasty, and what a journey she has had. I'm really proud of her. And for everyone here at the Physicians Committee, I am the weight loss champion, Chuck Carroll. Thank you so very much for listening. And remember, as always, keep it plant-based.